Make your way in your Bible to Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." To the saints that are in Audubon and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We'll pick up in verse 15. We'll read through the entirety of chapter 1. God's holy word. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe?" I challenged you last week as we departed. I asked if it is true that we really believe that. Do you really believe that? And what effect does it have in your life? Either the total believing of that or the absence of that belief. It was a bit of a trick question. In reality, the answer is that none of us truly believe that. Yet. Paul is reminding the church that is gathered in Ephesus that they are not yet complete in their belief of that. In fact, he prays that they might increasingly know that in their faithful walk. The same is true for us. By extension, this word that Paul gives to the church at Ephesus, it also is also given to us, that we may know the immeasurable greatness of his power. This week, as I was preparing, as way of insider knowledge, I normally spend one day earlier in the week just pondering the passage. I have a short copy of Ephesians that I carry with me in many places, and I read the passage over and over again, praying for, in the language of Paul, a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I believe this week there are three things that come out of the section that will encourage you around the power of God to do these things. Three effects for the faithful that are gathered at Audubon Baptist Church this morning. Let's jump into it together. Earlier, Benaiah read the section that we will normally read on Easter Sunday morning. The section of Mary Magdalene running to the tomb, initially just going to the tomb, running later to the disciples, and finding that the tomb is empty. Let your eyes back on verse 19. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? Comma, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. The effect of the power that Paul wants us to experience and know more about is no less than the same power that raised Christ from the dead. John records in chapter 20, in verse 8, right where Benaiah left off, then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in and he saw and believed. Saw and believed. Now, if you know the Gospel of John, you know the word believe, belief, believed shows up over and over again. And it shows up in this way towards a faithful disciple, John, who had walked with our Lord throughout his earthly ministry, but yet still had room to grow in his belief. God gave wisdom and understanding through that experience that grew his belief. Paul might say he opened the eyes of John's heart, enlightened. By the way, other translations render heart, mind, understanding, the fullness of getting it with regard to Christ being the Messiah. Mary Magdalene runs to the other disciples, we know a few short verses, and they believed too. Now, we need to remind ourselves who these people are. People like Peter, John, Mary, the other disciples that have been with Christ all along. And they believed. The last section of John. Don't go there. Verse 30 and 31, you can note for reading later. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. Many other signs, which are not written in the Gospel of John, but these, the ones that are written so that you, beloved Audubon Church, may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The question before us this morning, under the umbrella of the great immeasurable power of God the Father, is, do you, beloved, faithful in Christ, believe that that same power exists for you? John says, in accordance with the way that Christ was raised, it does. According to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Thursday this week, Amy Jo and I are going to... Really sorry, I hit Mary Burch in the chest with a laser. There we go. Ah! Amy Jo and I are going to have one of those once-in-a-lifetime trips. We're going to leave on Thursday for a couple of weeks, and we're going to go to the Middle East. And one of the places that we're going to go when we're over in Jerusalem is this church. You can drop your eyes in the middle there. This is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Sepulchre. Sepulchre means this: small room or monument cut in a rock built of stone in which a dead person is later buried. This is believed to be the burial site where Jesus Christ was raised according to the great immeasurable power of his Father in heaven. People journey there from all around the world, and we're excited to be part of that group. The effect upon us as His chosen is that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that we profess as our only solution to this thing called sin. In Christ alone. It's the same power. Paul prays that we might know it. Resurrection power gives life to the dead. It is what at this church we proclaim to be the conduit to relationship with God the Father. It brings dead to life, reclaims life, and it is beautiful. Sometimes we get all twisted up and we wonder, what does it take to really be a Christian as our belief gets challenged this side of glory? We had a conversation yesterday, those that were at the men and women's breakfast, about the reality of belief being a slippery thing some days. For pastors too. Paul reminds us in chapter 10 of Romans that if we believe in our heart that Christ was raised from the dead and confess that with our mouth, we shall be saved. The same power. Do you believe this? Paul in Corinthians records this in the fifth chapter of his second book. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ via this belief that we profess together here, we are new creations. This is the testimony of the power of God in our life, that we can overcome our past and be a new creation because of His great immeasurable power. Paul continues, the old has passed away and the new has come. We testify that this is true. Not that we're perfected, but there's newness that has come. Paul continues, we, and I'll say I, implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul prays, beloved, that you may know what is the hope to which we are called. A new creation. One that was dead to sin. Sin no longer has domain over you. That is the immeasurable greatness of God's resurrection power. According to His power, when He raised Christ from the dead. Paul prays that the Ephesians might know it. We pray together that we might know it as well. A second type of power that comes really quickly in this section, if we look in verse 21, seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Far above every name that is named, not only in our day and age, Audubon, but also in the one to come. I refer to this as sovereign power. Sovereign power. We find that Paul, and this is referred to in Scripture elsewhere at least 10 or 12 times, has Christ seated at the right hand of God the Father. We need to understand the importance of that. In ancient times, the person of highest rank was always at the right hand of the king. Always. Two reasons. a position of proximity to the king is one that is totally trusted and essentially the same as the king. And the other thing is a recognition for faithfulness to the king. Today we might refer to something like our right-hand man or our wingman or right-hand lady. This is sprinkled throughout Scripture. What is important to know is that Christ is honored by the Father at the right hand and that He is seated. Scripture gives commentary as well as those that give commentary on Scripture about the significance of seated at the Father's right hand. Christ's early earthly work has come to a conclusion at this point, and Christ is in a position of waiting between His first coming and His second coming, a date that only the Father knows. Seated, but yet interceding for those that would put their faith in Him alone. In light of the reality of what theologians call the not yet period of time, Christ's kingdom has begun but not yet completed, this time gap between His first coming and His second coming, we have a whole lot of complexity of thoughts about whether or not Christ the King is really reigning now. Look around. It seems anything but the King is reigning right now. Certainly in our country, but all around the world, Christians are persecuted. Where is God in these things? Why has God not come to make them right if He is reigning in this age, as Paul says? Well, Scripture also gives an answer to that, and it sounds like grace so that more and more might know His holy name and to come in the fellowship of saints before that glorious day. Make no mistake, for some 2 millennia now, there have been people that would like to eradicate the church. All around the world, we see these things playing out with the persecution of God's people. No less than Jesus Himself reminds that the gates of hell shall never prevail against His church. And while one particular church might succumb to dying, as is foretold in Revelation 3, the church universal will prevail and continues to accelerate to that glorious day when Christ returns to the bride. We see this language not only in this age, but also the one to come. This is a picture on the screen of Amman, Jordan. Amy Jo and I will be there on Friday. Amman, Jordan. Jordan has a king, King Abdullah II, Ben al-Hussein. The people of Jordan are 94% Islamic. The king professes a lineage all the way back to one of Muhammad's daughters named Fatima. Abdullah is very popular for being a mainstream progressive king. 94% of the people in Jordan are Islamic. 94%. Some 4% are proclaiming to be Christian, the large majority Greek Orthodox. Revelation 7, 9. John, in his vision, records this. After I looked, and behold, a great multitude no one could number from every nation, from all the peoples, standing before the throne worshiping. Let me encourage you, brothers and sisters. Last night I was reading about the nation of Jordan. You have 6,500 brothers and sisters in Christ that have turned from their Muslim faith to in Christ alone. 6,500 that will be with us if Christ returns this afternoon, worshiping the King of Kings before the throne. God, through His Son Jesus Christ, is reigning over the church today. Revelation 21 records that moment when Christ comes back, what happens to all of these nations that are not Christian. John records this in verse 22 to 26. I did not see a temple in the city. If you've read this, you remember this. Where's the temple in the New Jerusalem? There is no temple in New Jerusalem because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. We are there to worship not within the temple, but in the presence of God. The city does not need sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb its lamp. Listen to this, brothers and sisters. The nations will walk by that light. One verse later. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. In that day, all the nations will worship the same God that we do, underneath the dominion of God the Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. Kings and nations all over the earth, whether they be Islamic now or they be Christian now, will be bringing rightful worship to the King of Kings. That is the immeasurable greatness of God's sovereign power. And it will happen based upon the truth of God's word. There's one more that I want you to see. We see this down in verse number 22. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. This is what I refer to as